a concurrir a estos comicios. Dani Pérez Díaz con información de Niloufar Shakoury, Hispan TV Noticias.
El canciller cubano Bruno Rodríguez condena la continua agresividad estadounidense y el plan de usar millones de dólares para la desinformación y agresión contra La Habana. Lisandra Andrés tiene más detalles.
Hoy el ministro de Relaciones Exteriores de Cuba, Bruno Rodríguez, condenó desde su cuenta en la red social Twitter la solicitud que realizara el gobierno estadounidense de 20 millones de dólares destinados a realizar acciones de desinformación y promover programas de confrontación contra la nación caribeña. En esta red social, el canciller denunciaba cómo Washington, que repudia la injerencia en sus asuntos internos, apuesta nuevamente por un financiamiento millonario dentro del presupuesto del año 2022 para lo que ellos han llamado programas de democracia dirigidos especialmente a La Habana. También el ministro de Comercio Exterior y la Inversión Extranjera, Rodrigo Malmierca, denunciaba también desde esta plataforma que mientras el mundo rechaza el bloqueo, el gobierno de Estados Unidos está aprobando en estos momentos millones de dólares destinados a promover la confrontación con Cuba. Recordemos que este pasado fin de semana se vivió una nueva jornada internacional de solidaridad con la isla caribeña, la tercera jornada de este tipo impulsada por la iniciativa Puentes de Amor, y desde donde decenas de países de todos los continentes, amigos de Cuba, alzan sus voces para respaldar a la mayor de las Antillas para pedir el fin de esta política ilegal de bloqueo contra Cuba, que según los últimos cálculos solamente desde abril del año 2019 a marzo del año 2020, estos daños ascienden a más de 5 mil millones de dólares a causa de las 243 nuevas medidas que aprobaba la administración de Donald Trump en medio además de un difícil contexto de enfrentamiento a la pandemia de COVID-19, y ahora se suma esta petición de presupuesto de la administración de Joe Biden de 58.5 mil millones de dólares para el Departamento de Estado y la Agencia para el Desarrollo Internacional, lo que representa un incremento del 10% con respecto a la de este año, una solicitud que además contempla 94.043 millones de dólares para oficinas e instituciones que están vinculadas a programas de subversión contra La Habana, y todo esto en un contexto cuando el próximo 23 de junio Cuba presentará nuevamente ante la Asamblea General de Naciones Unidas su resolución para pedir el fin del bloqueo estadounidense contra la isla, una iniciativa que desde que se presentó por primera vez en el año 1990 ha recibido el respaldo mayoritario de la comunidad internacional.
En Guatemala, familiares de las más de 180 personas secuestradas, torturadas, asesinadas y desaparecidas por militares claman justicia. Rolanda García viene con los detalles.
En Guatemala, familiares de personas desaparecidas, quienes figuran sus nombres en el llamado diario militar, exigen acompañamiento a su demanda de justicia. Sus exigencias surgen porque el pasado 27 de mayo, durante varios allanamientos de la Fiscalía de Derechos Humanos del Ministerio Público, fueron capturados 11 militares de alto rango, señalados de secuestrar, torturar, ejecutar y desaparecer a 183 personas cuando eran autoridades de las Fuerzas de Seguridad del Estado entre 1983 a 1985, ocurridos durante el gobierno de Óscar Mejía Víctores. Este día se tiene prevista la audiencia de primera declaración y se espera que los acusados sean ligados a proceso judicial para el esclarecimiento de los hechos, afirman los familiares, todos sobrevivientes del genocidio.
Así llegamos al final de esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro más profundo agradecimiento a todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPad o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
Estimado radio oyente, un pueblo bien informado está mejor preparado para defender sus derechos. Y esta emisora de radio transmite desde 1959 en el sur de California, trayéndote este tipo de información y datos pertinentes y necesarios. No tenemos comerciales y nuestros gastos son solventados en gran medida gracias a tus donaciones. Como todos sabemos, en estos días de pandemia del COVID-19 existe una gran inseguridad e incertidumbre sobre lo que pasará mañana. Es por ello que ahora te instamos a trabajar más de cerca con la Radio Pacífica, para que juntos podamos asegurar un medio independiente para hoy, para mañana y para después. Llámanos al 818-985-5735 o visita kpfk.org y haz una donación de 10, 25, 50 dólares o más. O si prefieres, puedes convertirte en un sostén financiero con una donación mensual de 5 o 10 o más dólares al año. El futuro de este importante medio independiente está en peligro. Llámanos.
Informativo Pacífica.
A continuación, Informativo Pacífica.
¡No te la pierdas!
Because we are the 99%.
Beijing también instó a los Estados Unidos a aceptar una investigación internacional dirigida por la OMS en su laboratorio biológico Fort Detrick y más de 200 instalaciones similares que operan en todo el mundo.
China rechaza categóricamente intentos de politizar investigaciones sobre el origen del COVID-19.
Denunciaba cómo Washington, que repudia la injerencia en sus asuntos internos, apuesta nuevamente por un financiamiento millonario para lo que ellos han llamado programas de democracia dirigidos especialmente a La Habana.
El canciller cubano Bruno Rodríguez condena la propuesta estadounidense de usar sumas millonarias para promover desinformación y confrontación contra La Habana.
66 millones al día de hoy todavía no pueden acceder a información básica sobre todos los candidatos.
And rumbling your way next on the stream of free radio at freakradio.org, it's Bathrobe Spears broadsides the June 3rd, 2021 show with a lengthy conversation with Katzenjammer Keith McHenry, as I call him, and a few other surprises. Well, perhaps not as surprising as it might be. Stay tuned.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So let's kick off the show with the aforementioned Keith McHenry, who I ran into on the sidewalk as I sat outside at the, I guess it's been open for a while, the Tabby Cat Cafe, and he joined me, and we started to gabble. Keith, you say that the there is hope for an injunction in the city of Santa Cruz, not just for the benchlands, but more broadly.
Yeah, more broadly, and not even related to the new law, just because of what's going on, generally speaking, in the city. Yep. So that's.
And you say this because you, even though you haven't spoken with Anthony Prince, who would be one of the primary movers of this or writers of this, that.
Well, I haven't talked to him in 2 days. I mean, 4 days ago, that's where we were at. We were in the middle of our third meeting with all the Northern ACLU, Northern California people. Some of them had said, look, this is already needs to go to have an injunction immediately. Let's start working on it. So I don't know where that exactly is, but it's that's we've got some sign on there. We've got our own person, Anthony, ready to go. We're going to go soon. But I think even the more interesting thing is the building, organizing in the actual benchlands itself. So we've been putting up signs on all our members have been putting a union sign saying a union member lives here.
I saw a few of those. How many of you counted? I was there yesterday.
There's actually, probably about 30 so far. And I'm going over right now to do another 30. Mm-hmm. And we've signed up like almost 200 people total, but a lot of them before we had the sign.
So the strategy either proposed by you or Anthony, I'm not sure who initially had the idea, was apparently has been a successful idea thus far to organize in the benchland.
Yeah, and then we're going to start having our regular camp council meetings on Fridays at 5 in the at the end of the benchlands, at the Water Street side. And we got like a little store happening now at the Water Street end, a little variety store that the union members are running. We have, we're going to have Wi-Fi hotspot there, and we're going to start broadcasting on Commander X's podcast every Saturday.
What time would that be?
The podcast is always 10 to 1 Pacific Standard Time.
Have you heard the great Commander, a.k.a. Chris Doyen, speaking at any time in the past recently?
Christopher?
Yeah.
Yeah, I talk to him almost every day.
And what's he doing? How's he going?
We're doing really well. We're like in the midst of this campaign. He's doing has this podcast out of Mexico City. He's a political refugee officially has political asylum by the country of Mexico. He's doing real well. He does need some resources.
How's his Spanish these days?
He has shitty Spanish.
And what is a typical show like that you've heard, or have you heard a typical show?
Well, I did one typical show. I did this, I think it was show 3, and it was 3 hours, and I told a bit about the history of Food Not Bombs and stuff like that the first hour. And then we got this second 2 hours was about the Operation Orlando, and we showed some of the images from Operation Orlando.
What is Operation Orlando?
And so what happened was that there was, I think, about a total of 25 arrests in Orlando for feeding the hungry at Lake Eola Park in the large group feeding ordinance.
When was that?
And that was June. Most of the arrests were in June or July of 2011.
It was a while ago.
Yeah.
You, in fact, were arrested at that time.
Yeah, I was arrested, and I was held the second time for 17 days. And I, oddly enough, was released when Casey Anthony was released at the same time. She was a big celebrity at the time for having misled the authorities about the whereabouts and ultimate death of her toddler. And the trial, she was found guilty of lying to law enforcement and released after about 2,500 days in jail.
But she wasn't connected to the food operation.
No, but it was interesting timing in that when I released was... So like a lot of, to compete with what was essentially the second O.J. Simpson trial, when you're doing Food Not Bombs and being arrested for that, kind of amazing that we shared in some cases, more media attention, and partially due to the fact that, one, it was weird to be arrested for feeding people, two, that it was weird to be arrested for feeding people in Orlando, and three, that there was this hack by Anonymous where they did denial of service and things like that of... like the Chamber of Commerce and the Universal Studios and the Diocese of...
This is a flooding of email or... the flooding of the electronic email so as to punish these corporations for their behavior.
Yeah, and then there's also some level of hacking of images onto their websites so that you couldn't actually ultimately access the websites. You could only just see the words like free Food Not Bombs, stop the arrest, stuff like that. And Chris says in the interview that he thinks that there could have been as many as...
Also known as Commander X.
Commander X, that partially what's going on in his movie about his life is just coming out in Canada. And so there's a lot, and then that's basically the guy that made that movie, the movie that just premiered like last week, is a novelist, from Canadian Toronto-based novelist, who happened to become friends with Chris when Chris was living on the church steps doing more cyber stuff there. Now he's stopped doing the cyber stuff, but he does communicate with this hacker and anonymous world through his podcast.
Have you read any of Chris's books? Because I know...
I've read parts of Unmasked, but no, I haven't read any of his books.
His third book is either due to come out or already has come out, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he might have a new... It hasn't come out yet. But anyway, he seems to be doing really, really well, so that's really cool.
Is he in love, perhaps?
No, he has two dogs.
Well, that's something. I mean, for heaven's sake. Across the street, the...
It inspired me to decide to write, a chapter on that situation. Got a little bit of time. And a chapter because, you know, at one point I came up with this name for the book.
That situation being?
The Orlando arrest and Operation Orlando. And my idea, I came up with the idea of the name Food Terrorist Diaries because I do have a lot of surveillance shit through it and Department of Justice Joint Terrorism Task Force document that I write about and things like that, you know. So, I've got to go across the street. I'll be right back.
All right, then. Before you get into that, Orlando is currently an okay spot to feed people these days?
Yeah, so at the end of that, in fact, on July 17th, about... maybe July 18th of, or maybe 17th, something like that, of 2011, the mayor said that he dropped all the charges on everybody, but I'd already pled out, so I didn't really much care. And
what about the old geezer who was 90 years old and was constantly feeding and has probably now gone to his rest?
Well,
Abbott, I think his name was?
Yeah, well, Abbott was getting arrested in Fort Lauderdale, so this is Orlando, which is about...
All these cities look alike.
4 or 5 hours north on I-75.
Huh.
So, so that's how that goes. And partly I was connected to the... That it does connect to the story, because I was down in... So the reason I was in Florida, where I could successfully be arrested, was I'd gone down there because the kids in Fort Lauderdale had been raided by the police and their house broken up by the Fort Lauderdale police. So I went down there to help them out. And then it was then when we lost the appeal in federal court, so then I went up to Orlando, and then... We started this thing.
Is that why you pled out, because of losing the appeal?
No.
You're talking about another case.
It was the federal case against. We had sued for a civil rights lawsuit in federal court for the very first arrest, Eric Menendez, in 2007 or 8.
In which city?
In Orlando.
Gotcha.
This is all Orlando, mostly.
Right.
Is Orlando. Operation Orlando is focused on Orlando.
Right.
Because that's where the arrests were. That's the city. So anyway, that's what happened. And then, except for then there was this, with Arnold Abbott and all this stuff going down in Fort Lauderdale. There was also a whole Tampa trip that went on and off for a long time, too, but not in that exact period.
Now, you're focused on the historical because you're writing a book about it, but currently, in those three cities, is Food Not Bombs, A, still active, and B, is there any persecution of anybody serving free food in those areas?
Not at all. I mean, they're serving food all the time, so the mayor gave up, said he'd even put a chili from his garden in our soup. We set up at City Hall twice a week still. It's the same schedule we had back then, but at a much better location, which is City Hall. Much more visible, much more impactful. Now, the title of my book is derived from the name of a release on a release form for a movie that a documentary filmmaker was making called Food Terrorists. And then Buddy Dyer, the mayor of Orlando, called us food terrorists, and it made a huge amount of news about using that term that we were called food terrorists. Then about 10 years later, there was a actual 49 people killed at the Pulse Theater in a what would be considered real terrorist attack.
The term was also used in San Francisco, I believe, a decade before.
Yeah, it's been used on and off. And so, but and this is really dry. And then so part of the other thing was Operation Orlando was this whole anonymous thing. I did receive two weird emails, which I cannot find copies of, which turned out to be from Chris that were weird, either like it was unclear what was going on before, maybe between the first arrest and the second arrest. And then when I got out, I had the email from Adbusters about Occupy Wall Street.
And they were the ones who sort of initiated that, right?
Yeah, they got the actual physical September 17th, 2011 was sparked by their email and their website and their culture jamming. Correct.
Historically fascinated though I am, the main issue for people who are poor in Florida who actually benefited very early from a federal court decision called the Pottinger decision, which was essentially in 1992 and then reaffirmed in 1999 that you don't arrest people for life-sustaining misdemeanors, something that supposedly is now the case in the whole western United States because of the Boise versus Martin decision, but actually is not because they use other laws, in my view, or many jurisdictions, including Santa Cruz does. But in Florida, since we're talking Florida, how are the homeless doing? Has there been any change? What's your any sense of that?
No, the whole thing is just even worse than it ever was, of course. It's like horrible. I mean, there's many, many more homeless people there. That's one problem. Last I heard, they still have that thing where you can't eat at soup kitchens unless you got a valid Florida ID. I don't know if that's still happening, but that was been a big problem. You know, they're still charging money to live, stay in the shelters. Like, I don't think they changed that. I don't know when that case happened, but I was in jail with a guy flying a flag. I've been in a sign. I've been in jail with a guy that was too close to the pay station in a parking garage on a Sunday during a thunderstorm when nobody was parking in the parking garage.
In 2011.
So I don't know when the Pottinger case.
Here in Santa Cruz, you may remember that they've been somewhat, police have been somewhat hindered or forced to pay some attention to, though not entirely, obviously, because of their actions in San Lorenzo Park, only stopped by mass action and by lawsuit, to pay attention to the shelter in place, which seems to be have protected some homeless people for a period of time. What's your sense of how that's... Has that been the case in Florida, too, or not?
No, I don't think so at all. And yeah, no, they don't... They have very lax COVID-related restrictions totally in Florida. So, yeah, no, I can't imagine there's... all I've heard is, like, lots of hassling of homeless people, you know, like normal. Everything's normal in Florida.
I'm a gray-haired woman and I'm coming into my years. I'm a weathered woman and I'm coming into my years. No more holding back, no more trying to please. I got the will and the power to get off my knees. I'm an aging woman and I'm coming into my years. I'm a streetwise woman and I'm coming into my pride. I'm a fight back woman and I'm coming into my pride. No more shrinking with fear when they whistle and jeer. I got a fist that's hard and a mind that's clear. I'm a night walk woman and I'm coming into my pride. I'm a loudmouth woman and I'm coming into my voice. I'm a talk back woman and I'm coming into my voice. Got an ocean of words, got stuck in my throat. Gonna let loose the waters and learn how to float. I'm a sing out woman and I'm coming into my voice. I'm a fighting woman and I'm coming into my strength. I'm a make change woman and I'm coming into my strength. I won't save the world, I won't drain my song, but I'll fight any battle that'll move us along. I'm a far-sighted woman and I'm coming into my strength. I'm a loving woman and I'm coming into my own. I'm a heartbeat woman and I'm coming into my own. I'll go for passion, I'll go for strength, I'll go for the moment and I'll go for the length. I'm a give-take woman and I'm coming into my own. Coming into my own. Coming into my own.
And that was Charlie King and Karen Brandow from the album Sparks and Tears. Name of the song, Coming Into My Years.
Here in Santa Cruz, you're spending a lot of time working on the book when you're not trying to feed people and engage in questionable food terrorism of many kinds. Any sense of what is happening in the last week as far as homeless civil rights or lack thereof in Santa Cruz?
Well, you know, we got the campaign in the park where we're getting, people are signing the cards that say that they agree that the union represents them in the federal court cases and other cases and negotiations with, like, being kicked out of the park, for example. We've got signs now on the, we have a campaign. So we've decided that we would aggressively make sure there were signs for all the members and all the tents, because Cassie at the city attorney's office,
Cassie Bronson
was claiming that the city represented the people living in the park, not the union, and was trying, but somehow have some weird legal angle of why that should justify, ending the injunction. She's telling Anthony that the people down there hate me, they hate Alicia, they hate the union, they're now blah, 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 blah. So there's all that kind of stuff.
I've been passing a flyer on called Stop the Summer Sweeps, which takes a somewhat nervous view about what's likely to happen after June 29th, when there will be a final status or next status hearing on the injunction. What's your view? Is it a likely thing that the city will be given the power to go after the camps with an injunction lifted? What's your prediction about that?
Yeah, they might. It might last a little bit longer because there's no, I think that we will successfully argue there's no place for anybody to go. I think the city will go, oh, yeah, well, that's okay. This is about COVID. We don't plan to kick anybody out just yet. But lift it anyway, so we have the right to do it when we want to. So those are that's the most, which way she rules on that. I mean, but at some point, the injunction will be lifted unless this whole trip about a much more dangerous variant and new vaccine thing has to happen and all that crap that occasionally enters the media. So who knows what that's all about. But the general thing is, because Newsom is in a recall campaign, I think that they'll just continue to yell a tear and claim everyone got vaccinated and everybody can get kicked out. But I don't think they will kick people out. And I think also the more we're in the park, the more we're bringing food and helping set up institutions within the park, the more that,
The power will be transferred from the city to you.
Yeah, and that basically, and it's been interesting that when I'm in there, like, I got harassed by one of the staff people from the city.
Jeremy Leonard?
Yeah, who was very upset about something that turned out to be completely a stupid misunderstanding. But what was really most powerful about it is the fact that the people in the park encouraged him to come meet with me to clear the situation up. And a lot of people in the park were visibly angry, and some came up, one guy came up, in fact, and said he videotaped the exchange. He was so upset and then hugged me. And, you know, we have so many allies within the park.
Something you wrote about on Facebook, which I think I read about earlier, was that issue resolved with Leonard? Did you chat with him?
Yeah. I mean, he and I are cool, but we want to give the impression, as originally planned, that we don't get along, so the city keeps him down there so that they don't bring some real...
Should I erase this from the...
No, it's okay. Fuck him. What's her name wants to listen to this and try to figure out what the fuck to do, well, that's okay.
That you can become sort of the de facto superior of the assistant city attorney.
Yeah. Well, in fact, actually, we're not even the... We just basically are the actual operating of stuff, and they are people collecting money. And they're celluloid avatars that collect money. We are people that actually make sure stuff on the ground happens.
Last time Anthony Prince actually met with people in the park to discuss what they want to do, this has been a matter of some criticism. You've heard me levy, and you've suggested it's unwise to do this. It breaks up people. It's divisive, perhaps. It gives a bad impression. I think more it's a matter of an honest assessment where we can still say good for Anthony for good things, and I can also be critical if I'm critical of something. But when's the last time there was that kind of meeting, and how important are such meetings?
Oh, there hasn't been a meeting because I went out of town to go celebrate my birthday with my girlfriend, whose birthday's a couple of days after mine, and then that's the way that is. Unless I call the meetings, they don't seem to happen. So anyway,
any meetings happening inside the park by homeless residents?
Yeah, so now the meetings are happening every Friday at 5 at the Water Street end of the park.
Was there a meeting last Friday?
No, not last Friday, but it took us last Friday to figure out when we wanted to have the next meeting, so that's what we did.
It's coming up. Any word about anything happening up in San Rafael with Robbie Powelson, Sausalito, and organizing Sonoma County, that period area right directly north of San Francisco?
Yeah, I don't know. I was at the statewide meeting online, and they're still fighting against whatever that group is that tries to kick people out of their houseboats. They still... Yeah, I don't really know all the details. There are a lot of damn unions now in the state. That's a lot of locals.
Heard anything from our old friend Lucero Luna in Lunero down in... And Santa Barbara.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from her. I know there's a big... The most recent struggle I've been following is the Isla Vista People's Park struggle, where they're trying to kick people out of there.
Come on, and I know you're...
You got to tell me where the meter guy comes out of the building.
Which building?
The parking garage, because I've got money in the meter, but it's not really a meter I'm supposed to be at.
I will keep an eye on it. I did see him go in there in his vehicle, but I haven't seen him come out. But I haven't been looking closely.
He's going to lunch. And I'm going to have to go over to San Lorenzo, I promise. So I've got my projects today are many, but one of them is to... I've got to drop off a bunch of stuff at the park, and then after that, or maybe even... I might drop off one thing at the park, then go take Baba Ito to his driving... to DMV so he can get a license, so he can legally drive his car, or more legally drive his car. And
how is the Ito doing?
Very good. He needs help with his windows on his car. That's why he's using my car to take his driving test.
How are the lawsuits going for Josh and Eric?
I don't really know anything about that. No.
Has there been any other further harassment of homeless union officials or members of the union that you're aware of?
We don't know who destroyed the interior of Alicia's RV, but somebody did and stole a bunch of her shit. But otherwise, I don't know really the details there. But here I'm going to have to go. But this reminds me, this object going by, that. I am trying to get the movie Push to be shown here, which is why I'm at the Tabby Cat. And I'm also going to try to organize... The movie Push is about the current global... they're not really even calling it gentrification because it's not really that. But this whole thing, like what we are facing here, where you have out-of-town venture capitalists like this... one from Brooklyn that is wants to build a 223-room luxury hotel on the place where we serve food. And so there's a part of the issue that's going on with why there's an increased number of unhoused people, which could be drastically increasing in 30 days, is that venture capitalists are buying massive amounts of property just to dump the money that they got from the CARES Act and from the TARP bailout, and, you know, and they just got so fucking much money that they don't know what to do with it. They're trying to put it in real estate. That's why the housing market has been so big, because they bought, in fact, there was one report in National Public Radio that they bought, a venture capitalist bought an entire neighborhood. And people get, although I hear that this is slightly starting to cool down, but the residential part, but this building of massive structures all over town that they're trying to do here in Santa Cruz is part of actually a global issue that is happening, and it's essentially a way of parking money.
Such as the building behind us?
Yeah, such as the building behind us, such as the 55 Pacific at the other end, and then they tore down the Taco Bell, and that's another 205 unit luxury condo project, and then they've got the affordable housing project over on Ocean, which is you have to make at least $33,000, but you can't make more than $45,000, and you can't have any misdemeanor convictions ever in your life if you choose to rent a room there. But the apartment, but the already when they announced the opening of the apartments are all gone, so there's no apartments available.
How many were there?
I have no idea, but a couple hundred, but they're maybe 200 or something, but they're all gone. They're gone.
Take it.
My suspicion is that they've been bought by, rented by vulture capitalists or something. You know, I just very much doubt that actual humans have gone in and rented all those apartments, because how did anybody even know to do that? So, you know, particularly in that price range in this town at this time.
Coming up at the next shitty council meeting, perhaps, and that would be a week from today, or a week from yesterday, is the reappearance of the camping ban, of the TOLO, the community standards and services ordinance, whatever the fuck they're calling it, or not. Because apparently they can withdraw it from the agenda whenever they feel like it, just a day or two before it happens, as they did last time. And not that it really matters, because as I said to you earlier, I believe they're using other ordinances, as they've been doing for some time. Any internal information from your sources on the shitty council, as I call it?
Oh, I do kind of agree that it'll get put off again. And it probably will be at the last minute. Because you don't see that one of the things that telegraphs that information is there isn't a massive Take Back Santa Cruz campaign. Yeah, so you're not seeing, like, you know, any of the normal characters doing their normal stuff that would, you know, that you would normally do before such a vote. Although that may change, you know, I mean, it's still like a, you know, just is the 2nd of June. So, so I don't know. But I do think it's largely a bunch of nonsense. And the main point of it is that this, like, safe sleeping area thing, in the end, nobody will ever want to do that. It won't happen. They might set it up, and then probably week later it'll be over and never to be done again. And
Association of Faith Communities still have people using their churches and their lots or not?
Yeah, that's still happening. We still got the shower coming out of over near Food Not Bombs.
Once a week?
Yeah, once a week, but they couldn't have, and I think they changed to Wednesdays now. But they couldn't, the city kicked them out of our parking lot when they came to do it there.
You've written about, I believe, about the wastage of money. I think you talked about federal and state, but what about locally? I think you mentioned about county, too. Is anybody doing, and would you recommend anybody go to a place where they can do an analysis of the amount of money in the last few years that the city and the county have gotten and how it has been spent on homeless issues or not?
Well, I think somebody's going to have to do like a lawsuit to get all the documentation. So, for instance, when you search through Rennie Perez's stuff on the county website, you can see millions and millions of dollars, but there's no like final. It tells you that they're getting millions of dollars from the state and from the feds for random weird things which are not really all that interesting and that we don't see anything about. So there needs to be a forensic accounting effort done to figure out what's going on. So the way that, and what I've been writing about is how it's divided up, right? So Bezos gives, there's a big announcement in the Sentinel and Lookout and everything about Bezos giving $2,500,000 to Housing Matters. Really fantastic. Then 3 weeks later, there's a big announcement. There's not enough money to keep the River Street shelter open, which is at the Housing Matters location. So, oops, I gotta go. Well, let me see if Justin. Hey, Justin.
Final word then.
No, I could talk more. His leg is broken or something, and he can't walk. So, Yeah, so the way they have it, so they had on an online thing where you could watch them talk about what they did with $9.9 million that they got from HUD money for HEP or whatever, right? And they make it, you know, so it sounds like, well, it's like, there's money, you know, and it went, of course, to nothing. And then, but then the Bezos money, that turned out that they had to use it for something else. They couldn't use it to keep the
River Street shelter.
River Street shelter opens because, you know,
it's a different pot. A different pot.
Yeah, that's what they always call it, a different pot. So then you've got the. We know in 2015, the Santa Cruz police said that they spent $11 million on harassing homeless people,
enforcing the law in the Poconip.
And everywhere, wherever they had to.
The law they created, of course.
Yeah. So anyway, so they said one and two arrests were of unhoused people. So in 2015 it was $11 million. You imagine how much it is now. And then you've got, like, then there was the $20 million for housing for health. That came in. That was beautiful. Then you got the, there was $2.5 million for homeless youth. That's on Perez's, you know, if you Google Perez, City of Santa Cruz. Then there's the other $7 million for another project. Then there was another $7 million for another project. And then you got $10 million for another project. Then they announced there was $20 million total for another thing. So after a while, you go, wow, it's like millions and millions and millions of dollars. But then you look at what they bought. So they bought like, you know, I'm racing them in the amount of tents I'm buying compared to them. And I know that I'm paying $1,000 a month on tents, so they must be paying $1,000 a month on tents. Well, you got $25, $30 million, you can afford to spend, you know, like $1,000 a month on tents. Right? So that's where we're at there. So they're not the city isn't taking those millions of dollars and registering vehicles like I'm registering vehicles or buying vehicles for people to live in, which I am doing, or any of the other things that are going on. Oh, good, I can watch the meter person better.
Let's leave these dizzying figures and soothe ourselves with a bit of music. And then we'll be back to Keith.
Lazy boy with the stuff and gone, sofa bed with a cat scratched arm, piles of memories on a lawn. This is moving day, trash bags full of worn out clothes along the curb in ragged rows. Barbie dolls, G.I. Joes. This is moving day. Moving day. They don't live here anymore. Moving day, lock the windows and the doors.
of bricks and boards and milk crate shelves. This is moving day. Another house is up for sale. The sheriff smokes and picks his nails. It's the end of a fairy tale. This is moving day. Another worker out of work. Another family out of gas. Another cardboard box under the overpass. This is moving day. This is moving day. We are the hands that turn the wheels. We are the arms that till the fields. And when we all dig in our heels, we shall not be moved. We shall not be
again, that was Charlie King and Karen Brandow from the Sparks and Tears album, Lively in Concert, Moving Day, When We Shall Not Be Moved, from the 2003 album.
So the reality is they're getting millions and millions, which they have always in different pots. And for different reasons, and for lots of headlines. You know, Democratic Party, I think, they must have had a meeting during the pandemic, or before the pandemic, where they decided the best thing to do is to rule by headline. So you could see, like, Biden will announce some bullshit thing that doesn't actually exist, but it'll be all over the media, the headline.
Typical.
Yep, or then you...
I mean, typically.
Yeah, typically, or you get Newsom...
An example would be...
Yeah, well, a recent example is how wonderful the housing, they got all this money to help renters so they won't be evicted during the eviction tsunami. So they get $135 million for that, and it's just wonderful. So then you look into it, and in the entire time that they've had, which is months now, half a year bit possibly, or roughly half a year, they've almost spent $1 million of the $135 million.
Well, they're being very prudent.
In rental assistance. So, or you'll see Operation Room Key, and they had, you know, like all this money, like first it was $500 million, $500 million for helping the homeless during the pandemic, and all these rooms going to be given to people. And so, you know, our city officially says, what, that there's 800 people that are in shelters or hotels. You know, that's, yeah, something like that. So then they have all this money for all this hotel rooms and stuff, and then, you know, so the liberals that are go, oh yeah, look at it, they're doing this. So, you know, oh, they're going to give you $2,000 check, and then it's a, you know, $1,400 check, or then it's a, you know, we're getting out of Afghanistan on September 11th and sending in three times as many mercenaries as we already had there at five times the price.
More jobs.
Yeah, you know, it's like everything is this way. You know, COVID restrictions change by the hour depending on what's politically good, and you never know what the actual reality of it is. You know, the whole thing is like a psycho. So the, you know, really the thing is to just organize on the ground to build your own community, poke fun at the government, resist the government when they overtly try to attack you. But essentially we're on our own, and it's time for us to just step up and do, you know, create our own world. And I know when I go in and out of the park, it's just amazing, you know, how, you know, interesting it is. Sure, there's a lot of people using drugs, and there's like the drunk area gets real rowdy when they start partying, and people wish they'd be quiet at night, and all the normal stuff. But God, you got like 300-400 people piled into one tiny little area.
And a couple of children, too.
Yeah, more than a couple now. I think it's getting to be more and more children. A lot of women, too. A lot of women.
Have you been over to the fenced off so-called agreement camp, relocated Harvey West thing?
Yeah, I've been over there. Those people are nice. You know, it's a nice little village over there. It's kind of funny. I watched the city move all those people's stuff over there and then set up tents for Brent Adams. It's kind of funny. But
are you and Brent a buddy-buddy these days?
Oh, I have no idea really what's going on. I get an impression that he's still trashing me all the time like normal, so I don't know.
Is there much difference between those two camp areas? One seems a lot more crowded. The one with the more tents that's between ocean, about water, and the footbridge is distinguished from the one between the footbridge and Soquel.
Yeah, there's probably 300-400 people in the main one, and then 50 people or less in the other one.
Yeah. Any sense of what's been happening with the old Camp Paradise area, another one of the so-called agreement camps?
Yeah, I don't know. My understanding is it was going to be swept. I don't know if it did get swept yet. They're supposed to sweep everything on the other side of Highway 1.
Any connection or communications with the folks who were swept away from Highway 1 and 9?
Yeah, those people are now part of the residents that live in either at the Food and Bombs Meal or at the Benchlands. Yeah.
And you know this because how many would you, 1 and 9 people have you actually spoken to personally?
I don't know the total number, but I definitely talked to a lot of people that came from...
Dozens, hundreds, five...
Oh, dozens and dozens and maybe a few hundred. Yeah, I don't know. It could be the reason there's 400 roughly people there is that 100 of them came from the sweeps on the highway.
And now the most important question. Is this Robert North guy still defaming the union? And are you allowing him to do that without kicking his ass out?
Yeah, he's still defaming the union. And I expect him to trash the next lawsuit saying that it's not correctly written. And that the
will he actually be able to see the next lawsuit?
You'll see parts of it. I still haven't even seen parts of the lawsuit.
Even you have been able to see the lawsuit?
No, I haven't yet. But yeah, there will be a lawsuit. I may end up being the one that writes it, although I'm trying to write this. I'm getting close to getting this one draft of the book done, and I'm trying to get it to Paul Eve while he's on vacation so he can edit it.
You sent me the, I gave you the Chico, you sent me the Chico filing papers, and I said, you know,
Worst case, I may have to go back in there and alter it.
I was told by some people, it was down in Monterey, or I guess it was Robert Aguirre up in San Jose, that all you need to do is find a law student who's willing to do that. That getting those papers prepared is not that hard. Maybe having an attorney to back it is a little more complicated, but just getting it prepared is not a big deal if you can find someone to be supportive. And that's why I am so.
Well, here's the issue. The issue is that right now, Anthony has 4 lawsuits, and he spends something like in the area of 12, 15 hours a day on lawsuits that are already existing currently.
Talking about Sausalito, Santa Cruz, what else?
He's got like the Sacramento lawsuit, the Santa Cruz lawsuit, the
Sausalito,
and the Pacifica. So he's like... The problem is that each of these cities have law teams of lawyers.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they, each of them, file all kinds of crap against them over and over and over again. And then he has to answer every one of them. And then he has to go on, have a hearing about each time. And so he's reluctant to, because once you've launched the lawsuit against the city, you're going
to
need
prepared for all that shit.
Yeah, you have to spend, he needs to book in another 12 hours a day for that. So the reason he's like trying to get help is for that, because he's feels like he's stopped. Like, he was supposed to come down here for all these meetings, right? He can't come. Every time he's about to come to a meeting, he has to counsel it because he's got to argue one of the lawsuits in another city. So it's just he's reluctant to. He's worried he's going to lose the other 3-4 lawsuits or have problems with the other 4 lawsuits because if he does a 5th lawsuit, because then he's going to be so overwhelmed that all 5 lawsuits are going to suffer. So this is where we're at now. So we thought we had a lawyer from San Jose that was going to co-participate in the one we're trying to do here.
He turned tail and ran?
Well, he got a job that paid, so he left.
Right.
So, and then there's a lot of internal politics in Northern California ACLU, and so we've got some of the lawyers are super into it and want to do it, but people with a bit more power in there are like still thinking about it. So there's a back and forth with that.
Any word from San Diego and Los Angeles? I know that there have been lawsuits down there around those issues.
Yeah, well, I think, the Skid Row lawsuit seems like the homeless advocates are kind of, and the homeless themselves are not happy with it, even though it comes off. It's just another one of those Democratic Party headlines that sounds real good until you actually have to deal with it. And then, the interesting thing there is, it's my understanding there was the business community that brought the lawsuit. And the goal was to get
my understanding
out of Skid Row. So on the face of it, it sounds really good, put everybody in housing. But like everything, it's just like here. If you try to get into housing, the Democratic Party, like when Clinton was doing, trying to outdo Bush Sr. with he adopted, the Democrats are really interested because they adopted the welfare to work thing that Bush couldn't get through, Bush Sr. Then they took, which was Tommy Thompson's welfare to work with a far right wing nut in Wisconsin, I guess.
That's now become norm.
Yeah, so that's a national law. And then, you've got you ended up with the medicalization of homelessness. That was a Clinton administration thing, which has just persisted to this day. So to qualify for services, to get a case manager, every case manager insists that, because there's no place on the forms for I don't have money, can't rent apartment. And you have to say, I am a drug addict, alcoholic, or mentally ill. Those are your only 3 options to get help. And that's been the case nationally since the same time they, NAFTA, welfare to work.
Locally, there is a deadline coming up for Laura's Law opt-in or opt-out at this county level here in Santa Cruz. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't heard anything about that. There's a bunch of weird things that I hear slight rumors of but don't have any details of. And there's that. What's the other one? Oh, the election by districts.
They passed something at the last city council meeting on that, which is to research it or to report back for it or some such thing.
Yeah, it's interesting because when in San Francisco, the left tried to get that, and then it backfired because it made it easier for the right to take over. And then, but then eventually over time, the left sort of, what you might call the San Francisco left, not much of a left really.
Tom Ammiano.
Yeah, did kind of get somewhere.
Matt Gonzalez.
Yeah. I don't know if that was, if district elections helped them, but maybe it did. That might be what happened. But this is like such a little tiny town. It seems so weird that you'd have like an east side, you know, representative and a west side.
Watsonville have that recently too. I think they have district elections and are there.
Yeah, so it's interesting that I have no idea whether it seemed to me that wouldn't really work very well.
I'm told by Sarah Leonard, the former MHCAN head, that they aren't using Laura's Law, but of course it's not active in this county or wasn't when I spoke to not to her, but to a drunk someone who had talked to her about it. But what they're using, according to what she wrote me on an email, was they are simply putting people under conservatorships and using the conservatorship thing that San Francisco is using. But what I hear from Huff members, two of whom have been essentially kidnapped and then forcibly medicated in Sacramento, but got their way back to the Huff meeting eventually, that they're just taking people without any recourse. And once they're in a hospital, this woman was taken out of her home, out of her rented area, because they found her place too cluttered.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are definitely a lot of people that are so-called, like, evicted for being hoarders and therefore medicated as a result, which I can't imagine that makes any sense to do, but, you know.
You haven't got me yet.
Yeah, but I do hear these stories. Yeah, it's really, they should just fund people to organize people's stuff rather than give them Prozac. But the whole medical,
there's the profit in that.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that that's what their whole thing is just a giant
money making machine.
Yeah, just like they're selling heroin, they're selling meth, they're selling Prozac, they're selling vaccines, they're selling any fucking thing they can sell to make money. That's their thing.
You prepared to become transparent about your own finances, Keith?
My own I'll tell you. My finances is I donate all the money I make except for $1,000 a month. And that's what I do.
Okay. Now, what about Ehud Na'am's finances? Is that an open book?
I mean, we panhandle online, and we are able to raise enough money to pay the total when you include garbage pickup of $4,000 at the Little Red Church. We make enough money to pay $1,000 to Joe Schultz. Joe Schultz.
India Joe's.
Yeah. Then we have all kinds of, like, you know, then we buy. We have to replace a lot of equipment that gets stolen, broken, and lost. Stuff like that.
You maintain yet a ready cash reserve for people who are in trouble, such as people who need places to go in March of 2020 when the COVID situation hit, the hotel voucher situation. Where did that money come from, Keith?
Okay, that money came from the Supreme Master, who gave me $20,000 for my work as a vegan.
Who is the Supreme Master?
The Supreme Master is some vegan woman from Taiwan that I met at an animal rights conference, and she has a whole series of restaurants, and I became friends with her through the Loving Huts. And Loving Hut was giving us lots of vegan food in Orlando during the Orlando rest and even afterwards. And so that's one thing. And then I sold my farm in New Mexico, and I took that money and also used some of that for that. I also donated some money to an organization that's doing the research on the Freedom of Information. They're filing all the Freedom of Information Act requests and stuff and litigating around that.
Have you been paying your war taxes?
I don't do that part, no. Well, I mean, I don't have to. I only make $12,000 a year. So
you and Scott Kennedy were both not paying war taxes.
Yeah, well, that's how I got started in Food on Bombs. I read On Civil Disobedience.
A bake sale rather than a...
Well, this even predates that by a decade, so...
Really? In the 60s?
Yeah. Yeah, I was in fifth grade when I decided I would become an anarchist and never pay taxes to the federal government.
You've stubbornly stuck to it ever since. Why don't you loosen up a bit? Have you considered fascism or National Socialism?
Yeah, those were very good, right? So anyway, that's it. Now, the thing is, I've got to take Baba Ito to DMV right now.
Well, I'm going to leave you and Baba Ito in each other's company, and you have my sympathies.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
All right. Thanks, Kansky.
Clear Channel Communications sent their member radio stations a long list of objectionable artists and CDs. While the country was despairing, there'd be no excuse for airing any music more subversive or extreme than Kenny G's. There'd be no more Don McLean, no more Kansas, no more Queen, no more radicals like Cher or Billy Joel. In the wake of 9/11, you can't play Stairway to Heaven. See how tragedy unites us all around a common goal. And scanning down the list of names their DJs hadn't spun, Steve Miller, Smashing Pumpkins, Talking Heads. Because if they play Imagine, then the terrorists have won. We grabbed the phone and called them up and said,
why aren't we on the list? Are we doing something wrong? After all we've done for you, can't you censor just one song? Who the hell is R.E.M.? Like we can't compete with them. Out of all the lists in history, that's the one we should be on. Are we so status quo? Are you calling us a liar? You think we're just not as radical as Light My Fire? You say our stuff is blander than the old diamond.
That is slander.
We demand to be banned. Or we're warning you, we turn into a YouTube cover band till you put us on that list
where we belong.
Then one day Joseph Lieberman, remember Joseph Lieberman, the Democrats once ran him for vice president and won. And to show how hard he works for those vice presidential perks, he teamed up with Lynn Cheney and a new list was begun. Over 100 professors were listed as transgressors for disparaging the president's new war. It was time for schools to snitch on the leftist in their midst. And that's exactly what this patriotic list was for. Joe burbled with intrigue as he crashed the Ivy League with intent to start a new McCarthy scare. But imagine his amazement when pounding down the pavement were professors waving posters which declare, why aren't we on the list? Have you seen our resumes? What did we ever do to incur you people's praise? Don't you think that we're seditious? Won't you even act suspicious? We work for those positions on your privileged lexicon. Once you scanned our major works, once you glanced at our credentials, we're certain you'll concur that our censure is essential. We're not everyday dissenters, we're dissenters holding tenure. You people have some nerve. And that Harvard and attack would be the least that we deserve. Come on, put us on that list
where we belong.
Ask any therapist for a practical prognosis. She'll tell you making lists can be a symptom of psychosis. And it's becoming clear, too clear to be dismissed, that there's somebody this year who's got a thing for making lists. There's a list of evil men. There's a list of evil nations. There's a list of suspect profiles and suspicious organizations. There's a list of strange new laws. There's a list of detainees. It's a list a thousand long which we are not allowed to see. And if you wrote the Bill of Rights,
which we're hoping still exists. You'd fit their definition of a vicious terrorist. It's a twisted justice system which can always add more twists. And nobody has to be a suspicious pessimist to perceive that there's a question here that everybody's missed. Namely, why aren't we on the list?
And that was yet another from Sparks and Tears by Charlie King and Karen Brandow, and it was called The List. And I've been doing some strolling around on the benchlands the last few days, well populated, and yet people seem to have a lot of privacy, which is interesting. It's kind of getting both the value, having a lot of people able to use space and yet have their own space, which not a bad idea at all. Of course, there are all kinds of drawbacks. I mean, there's not enough space, and there are too many people, and there's all kinds of inadequate resources, although more resources than there has been in previous benchlands, encampments, and other encampments. So there's something to be said there. Anyway, here's a resident I ran into who had some strong opinions. You've heard him before, and you may recognize his voice. And I think, actually, he identifies himself at the end of this discussion. But he was not in the best of health, but did this entire interview standing up. Oh, I think he may have been waiting for the phone charging station, which is another one of the rare advantages of the benchlands compared to earlier encampments. But here he was. This was on the day before yesterday, June 1st.
So I'm talking to a benchlands resident here who tells me it's peaceful. He says almost boring, but he likes it.
We could use more food.
More food. Any other needs you would suggest?
Well, I contracted an infection from not having proper hand washing facilities. I just got out of the hospital 2 days ago, and I got to get pumped up with some antibiotics to keep the infection from spreading. So the hygiene here sucks. You don't have regular
showers.
You don't have showers. We don't have places to wash your hands, which transmits diseases like crazy, because everybody's touching things. One of the things they encouraged with the coronavirus is to wash your hands with hot soapy water. We don't have any.
How's the soap and the cold water storage?
There's no soap.
How often now the porta potties clean? I saw some guy.
What's the
thing? How is that?
It's adequate, but it's not hygienic. I mean, the hygiene here is primitive, third world quality. It's not Holiday Inn. But for a lot of people, this is the best they've ever heard. This is actually the best conditions because they're not getting harassed. They're not getting, well, robbed at point blank, gunpoint. No, stuff like that's not happening.
And you say that would you say it's gotten quieter at night here, or it's the same?
Well, I get woken up at 3 a.m. by some wannabe DJ who played music till 6 o'clock. I guess that's his schedule. And if I see him, I'm going to tell him he's fired.
You are critical of his music, are you?
No, the music was fine. It's just the timing was inappropriate. Yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning, again, you've got 100 people sleeping. No, buy some headphones. We'll pick up a collection and get you some headphones. Yeah. That way we don't have to listen to your music in the middle of the night. But other than the sanitary conditions, the hygiene, stuff like that, I feel pretty safe.
How is the police and Parks and Rec rangering around here?
Not at all.
Good or bad?
Haven't seen them.
Would you call that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, if there's a problem, we'll call them. If there's no problem, you know, I'm sure they have better things to do than babysit a bunch of campers.
Trash pickups?
On a regular basis.
Sufficient?
It's about time. I guess so. I don't know precisely, but it seems to be improving, and it's working, and people are left here to fend for themselves, more or less. Some camps look like a Hollywood mansion. Some are just the basic bare bones, scraping out as well as they can. Here's the problem. We have poor people in Santa Cruz. Duh. Yeah, you have poor people everywhere, but here it's frowned upon. They don't want no poor people here. They want the rich people to come here. The rich people got the money, and the poor people scare them away. Quote me on that.
True enough.
And, yeah, I'm stealing from Robert or Newman. He didn't like short people. Yeah. Here they don't like pro people.
What about the community situation here? Is there much community interaction with people over?
None at all. I saw a guy from a church bring in a box of vegetables. But, I mean, everybody here is extremely self-sufficient, and they've been doing this for years in all kinds of circumstances, at the beach and the Poco Nip all up and down the coast.
Is the camp expanding?
I think we've reached saturation point. Because we need 6 feet of distance between tents. Preferably more like 10 or 12.
Have you heard of people being turned away who want to camp here?
I haven't been keeping track of that. Like I said, I just got out of the hospital. The third time this year. So.
How was the hospital treatment?
First two times they kept me for 30 days. This last one, I had some excruciating pain and they released me in 10 hours and I'm going to get my prescription from CVS. Thank you, California.
Are you talking about opioid?
No, antibiotics. Kill the infection. The infections will kill you here.
What about the pain?
Oh, excruciating.
Still.
I'm starting to take the antibiotics. The hospital was a great deal of help. Their staff was friendly and efficient, and they had me in and out in 10, 12 hours.
No discrimination because of your economic status.
In my prime, I made more than they did.
However, your economic status now looks like you're a poor person. You're living in a camp, in a tent, in a camp. So.
I'm not homeless, Your Honor. I'm between apartments.
Well put. What I'm just wondering is, was there any... It sounds like what you're saying is you got treated in an equitable manner.
Yeah, I've been to... Through a broken ankle, fractured hip, hernia operation. You want to keep going?
Up to you.
Well, I got an infection that's spreading through my body that I'm going to kill with severe discrimination. I'm not going to put up with this. No. All it takes is antibiotics. Let's do this.
How about support from fellow campers here of a more sort of family sort?
I know some of the people here, and they know what I do. I've got a better recording studio than you do.
Well, anybody has a better recording studio than I do. So.
No, I've got a 6-channel portable mixer, 4 external mics and cables, a Zoom recorder, sort of similar to that, but with the XY mics coming out at 45-degree angles. And that does, what, 24-bit audio at 96K. Extremely high-quality audio.
Do you have any people who have your back in the event of problems in the camp?
I have not any problems.
Well, I named him.
I've got 3 guitars, all this electronics, and my friends told me that somebody was eyeing my equipment, and they backed them down. I didn't have to lift a finger or say a word. They took care of it.
How does this compare with your previous encampment experiences?
This is much more stable, much more civilized, much more humane, and I'm just rolling with the punches. You know, I've had some medical problems that should have put me in a rest home. But
any particularly good experiences you've had that you want to comment on?
The 2 guys that work here.
Jeremy and Chris?
Jeremy and Chris I've known for years, and they've been extremely supportive. And otherwise, they stay out of our way. You know, people have been putting up, you know, plywood lean-tos and, you know, building really elaborate structures, and they have to nix that idea. And the fire department has come through on a couple of occasions and spelled out the rules. No internal fires. No smoking in your tent. No cooking in your tent. They're really, really worried about fire.
Where do people smoke?
Outside. They're not supposed to have any open flames. But there's cookouts here every day. People are bringing in their own food. They've got butane stoves or whatever barbecue grill they've got.
And they're not being penalized for that?
Oh, no, not at all, because you get them all in one, you know, picnic area. And everybody gets to talk and form a community.
And that does happen a little bit?
Oh, it happens every night. I don't join in like I should. I threw a good barbecue one day. Chinese or chicken stir fry with I think I had 4 pounds of chicken breast.
Sounds good.
It was good. But I'm going to do that once a month.
I know I don't want you all tied down like that either.
There is a concern some of us have, us liberals, that at the end of the month, at the next court hearing, when the injunction may be lifted protecting homeless people in the benchlands and requiring the city to leave them alone, police and parks and rec ranger-wise, that there may be a significant change in the status of folks here. Is there any concern on your part or other people's part here?
What we need here is jobs. We need jobs now. Not in the tourist economy and not in the construction industry, which a lot of people do. But there's a statistic I read that 160,000 people in Santa Cruz County registered to vote in the last election. And out of those, 110,000 actually voted. Okay, these are working age, 18 and over, registered and active. Here's another number I got from Caltrans. 55,000 people a day use the Highway 1, Highway 17 corridor to go to work in Santa Clara County. They have to. I was one of them. It's a 3-hour commute every day. It takes a toll on your family. It takes a toll on you. I was working high tech, and it was, it was back when I was a little younger. I'm retarded now. I mean, retired.
Retired, but not retarded.
Not yet. If I keep this up, I might just sign the papers and get it over with.
Fade into the background?
Huh?
Fade into the background?
I don't plan on going quietly. I'm coming out with a new album. I've got a new screenplay in the works. I've got three business plans. One is urban aquaponics, where we grow vegetables and raise fish in urban settings. Another one is intrusion detection systems, where we block hackers before they can even knock on the door. Once they come through the fence or start try the doorknobs, we're on them, and we block them completely. We disappear in a puff of smoke, so they can't even see us anymore. And this is something I've been working on with Tripwire and Port Sentry and some other protection software. This goes beyond the firewall. This is way before the firewall. This is at the peer network layer connection, layer two. Once they see any kind of funny business going on, you're shut down. You don't see them anymore. That's one of the things I've been working on extensively. Since our government got hacked and 100 different companies got hacked and ransomware is rampant and people are sitting there, oh, I've got a firewall. Yeah, big deal. Your firewall is dumb. You set up rules. You can't anticipate current attacks. You can't anticipate future attacks. But you can, with this, you can respond to them in real time. Once they try anything funny, and they're going to attack the clones on the outside of the firewall.
So you're suggesting, obviously, what's needed are decent and usable jobs. And people are working independently as you are, just trying to find their own ways of
being effective. We're
going to need boots
on the ground to implement.
But what about the campground here? What if the June 29th court date rules pass and Judge Von Kulin says, oh, it looks pretty good. There are a lot of people are vaccinated. There's no yellow zone anymore, no yellow tier. Governor has lifted his concerns. I lift the injunction. And then the next day, the city says, we're going to have to downsize this campground, you know, like they have in the past, or eliminate this, or move people to 1220 River Gravel Yard, or suggest people get the wonderful social services that are available to everybody and just clear this out because we want to have a taco festival here. What would be your response to that?
We need jobs. We need job skills. We need training. We need to employ these people in whatever capability they have. We have 55,000 of our current residents going to another county to find employment. What does that tell you? They're not working restaurants, I can guarantee you that. Right? You don't have a government job.
I mean, I doubt anyone, including those who are anti-homeless, would disagree with you. But what about the people who do or don't have jobs here and are now being told, if that happens, to move on?
Well, I think that would disrupt a lot of people's lives, for starters. And it doesn't address the core problem, which is jobs. If the city council currently was my business manager or business development manager, they'd all be fired. They would all be fired for incompetence and short-sightedness and lack of vision. No, I can implement this stuff. I've been doing it for 20 years.
But given the fact that the power of even ordinary people in houses to fire these clowns is very limited. In theory, they can, but in practice...
Go to the voting polls. Go to the booth.
That's 2 years off. But you could do a recall election. You could try and do that.
Don't bother. Plan ahead for the future, because the 21st...
But on June 30th, when they say move on, if they do, which I'm not saying they will, what do you think people should do in this campground, or what kind of advice would you give, or would you have any?
I can't speak for anybody but myself, and I can move on over to Sarah Clancy County or San Francisco or L.A. or Seattle or wherever. Once I get my health back and get through my antibiotic regime, you've seen what I've been going through for the last 2 years. It's not easy. I can't show up for a job interview at Twitter with a broken ankle in a wheelchair, right? And then I did that, actually. I kept trying, and I kept trying. But we've got a four-legged stool here.
No, I'm not.
Tourism, big deal. The student economy, huge deal. 165 million the students bring in. Construction and big agriculture, $16 billion for agriculture alone. Urban aquaponics could change the face of the agriculture industry dramatically. And we can pop up little farms on parking lots.
Now, have you written about this somewhere online that people can read about? How can people reach this website?
Urbanaquaponics.blogspot.com.
And if you want to say, we've been talking with?
Anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous.
First they came for the communists, then they came for the Jews. But I wasn't a communist, and I wasn't a Jew. So I didn't stand up. I didn't ask why. By the time they came for me, there was nobody left to even try.
Then they came for the pacifists, and they came for the priests. But I was and I wasn't a priest, so I didn't stand up, and I didn't ask why. By the time they came for me, there was nobody left to even try. Then they came for the unionists, and they came for the gays. But I wasn't a unionist, and I wasn't gay. So I didn't stand up. So I didn't stand up. And I didn't ask why.
And I didn't ask why.
By the time they came for me,
by the time they came for me, there was nobody left to even try. Side by side.
And that was still another from Sparks and Tears by Charlie King and Karen Brandow called Stand Up.
Talking to
Jimmy Two Guns.
Today is May 31st. It's about 4:45 down here at the Food Not Bombs meal. I know that the agreement camp that was at Harvey West has moved. You were saying something about, what were you saying?
Oh, well, it seems like we're just being bounced back and forth between agencies and entities that are trying to cope with the homelessness that's increasing here that we've seen now with the last influx of people there at San Lorenzo Park. It was packed to overflow. We're still outside of the already agency set up temporary encampments. We are on our own in various places throughout Santa Cruz. One maybe a good point is the police had said we could stay under the San Lorenzo or Soquel Avenue Bridge, which is good in bad weather.
When did you hear that?
I spoke with them directly.
How long ago?
This was about a month ago. They said they were going to start some sweeps, but if we wanted to avoid that, we haven't received any notices of removal of property. They've left us pretty much alone.
Under the Soquel Bridge.
Under the Soquel Bridge and maybe under the water bridge. Under the water street bridge, I think, is more under the view of this, the county building and the workers in that area. So they go to and fro from there under the bridge, and if they see all that crowd, it tends to make them nervous. We need to address this. You know, we need to address the situation. They tend to look the other way and put Band-Aids on things. We need those that live in homes to come and stand out and show up in force. We love your donations. We need your help. We need everything. Gloves, socks, flashlights, lamps, any sort of outerwear, because it gets cold at night. It gets bone-chilling cold. Climate change is happening, and times are changing. We need to buckle down and stand up for ourselves, with those less fortunate.
Anything happening in the last week, Jimmy?
An influx of a drug on the street known as fentanyl. It's a few people have expired. It really got me concerned.
Anybody we know?
A few people here and there, a few on purpose sort of ingestion. Not on purpose, getting people to try this drug. And the people that are trying this drug are not knowing the consequences. They can almost expire. It's a very dangerous drug, and now it's the...
Have you lost any friends yourself?
People just through the chain of people. No one... I know a very close and dear friend that was given it as almost as a joke or as a call-out to someone's bravery or something. Almost died. That person is me, Jimmy Two Guns.
It was rolled in. Congratulations for surviving.
Yeah. I went flatlined for a few minutes. Thank you to SCPD, the fire department, and the EMTs that got me there to the Dominican Hospital, and I pulled it out. I flatlined.
How long ago was that?
This happened a few nights ago. I was smoking weed that unknowingly had been laced with a fentanyl, just sort of as a joke. This isn't a fucking joke. It's not a joke. These are people's lives we're messing with.
This was smoked or...
It was smoked in weed. It was put in weed, almost like... Yeah, it was put in weed. Odorless, tasteless, sort of like a joke, and that's not a joke.
And how many other people do you know that it affected?
A couple people expired with that sort of behavior. So let's work together, whether it's someone who doesn't like the contingency of the homeless or someone who thinks it's a cool thing to do. That's like setting someone with a blindfold driving down the freeway the wrong way.
Dig it. And we've been talking with
Jimmy Two Guns, unofficial mayor of Santa Cruz. We love you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Something new is being born, and every day hope is being born anew. Every moment someone dies, Someone is born, and the sun is coming up every day. We live in a beautiful planet, and that's the way it is, and that's the way it's gonna be. Everything can heal.
And we've been listening to the singing of
Ariane, who loves all of you and everybody, and in the whole world, and especially in Santa Cruz. No, everywhere, but especially in Santa Cruz. Thank you for everybody's support, direct and indirect, or just those who think well of me. Thank you. We all make a difference. Our thoughts have powers. We're the only creature in the atmosphere who have that power with our thoughts.
Thank you. Well, George. And George, you live nearby. You passed by the Benchlands encampments, two encampments, both the Harvey West Agreement encamp that has been moved down there forcibly and is now fenced off. And you've been up to, I guess it was the site of the older campground next to the bridge crossing the Soquel Creek.
Brazos Forty Creek.
Thank you, Brazos Forty Creek. And what did you see regarding Sharp's container?
Oh, well, on one side of the Brazos Forty Creek pedestrian bridge is a regular trash can, and I saw the Sharp's a pile of needles right next to that regular trash can. And then on the other side of the Brazos Forty Creek pedestrian bridge, there used to be a big red Sharp's container.
Disposal device.
Disposal can. And that's been removed. So
how long has it been gone?
About a week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that. About when they cleared out all the people camping along the Brazos Forty Creek on that part of the San Lorenzo Park.
Now, you're still living in the St. George area?
Well, I live on the east side of the river now instead of the...
Fair enough. And how long have you lived there?
3 years.
What's your feeling about how the camp generally looks?
Well, it looks a lot better than it was before because it was like a huge... There were huge piles of trash all around these people's tents, and now it's a lot cleaner now that they've been cleared out.
And how would you contrast the agreement camp behind the fence with the much larger camp between the footbridge and Water Street Bridge?
I'd say they're about the same when it comes to cleanliness. I don't see the people in the agreement camp much because I can't see them from either the walkway or the pedestrian bridge that goes across the San Lorenzo.
Have you attempted to visit the agreement camp?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. Have you tried? How about the Benchlands camp?
Actually, I haven't walked through the bench there.
It's a mellow scene I've found when I've gone through there. I mean, you're still coming to Food Not Bombs meal. This one's breaking down. Of course, it's around 5 o'clock. What's your sense of, I don't know, for the last year when you've been walking around, do you see any changes happening as people start coming out of hibernation or seclusion or sheltering in place?
I don't know. It seems about the same.
Any sense of police activity regarding folks outside, or just generally that you noted?
Well, I'm seeing less police because there doesn't seem to be as many problems. So maybe I am seeing less problems because.
Well, these people camping everywhere, certainly they're a problem.
Well. I think it's when they're yelling and screaming and making noise that they're a problem. They have a right to exist.
Oh, for heaven's sake. What, are you one of those liberals I've heard so much about? You know, you suppose you would support the insurrections at the city capital, I suppose. I mean the nation's capital. That's lawlessness. It all leads to the same end. Overcoming the legitimate authority of our fair Congress.
That's your viewpoint. The truth is that Trump is the true president, and these people are protesting the fact that Biden is an illegitimate president.
Our Fuhrer, Biden, is illegitimate?
In the view of the people who attacked the Capitol. My personal view is probably Biden won. It's a little far-fetched that...
They shift the faces.
I'm more inclined to believe stupidity theories than conspiracy theories, and so I think
these
people, there is no conspiracy. There's just a lot of stupidity and gullible people.
A very cynical view, George, I must say.
That's the choice I make, right? Stupidity or conspiracy? It's more likely to be stupidity.
Or perhaps a little of both?
Sometimes.
Anything else you want to pass on before I move on?
No, I think that's it.
Thank you. With Robert here at his vehicle parked in the Food Not Bombs lot. Today is, are we June 2nd or June 3rd? I'm not sure.
June 2nd.
Thank you. It's June 2nd, Wednesday. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, sir.
And you're cleaning out your vehicle, which you are still using. You're hanging around, helping people out. Is that what you're doing?
Well, yeah, I help people that need to go to the doctor or something that I know are homeless or living in the camp, the beach land. And out here, John, I took off, but, you know, so when I'm here socializing and helping everybody. But I'm still getting penalized. I haven't taken care of the tickets yet. I've seen some people out here.
What's your ticket load right now? What do you owe?
I don't know. I have 7 tickets. One, if I didn't got it taken care of, it's going to be about $1,200. But unfortunately, that one I haven't got to write up for any of them yet. So that's the one I'm worried about.
What's the average number of folks you would say you help in a week?
Well, about 5.
Typical help, you were saying, is?
Take them to the doctor, take them to the store, take them to get their clothes clean.
Do you get anything in return? I mean, do they reciprocate in some way?
Well, yeah, they pay for gas when they can, or basically I do, because I'm going that way. It's like a few feet away, a few blocks, I'll help.
Now, notice you're not masked. Neither am I at the moment.
Well, I don't believe in that virus. It's not real. And I used to be in hazmat, so...
And you haven't really seen much illness among folks outside?
I'm around a lot of people. I do keep my mask with me for the store, but, you know, I haven't seen anybody out here that's got the virus, which isn't a good virus.
How are police treating you in terms of last week, in terms of any new tickets?
No, because I confronted them on it here in the parking lot when he came here. And told them, look, and I even showed the officer about the tickets, quit tagging me when I'm not around.
Is that the main cause? You're being tagged for expired registration?
Yeah, but it's registered. So they write the tickets as improper tag. So that way they still give you a ticket, and when you get it corrected, it's $25. Then I got a ticket for parking after midnight, which theoretically after midnight you have to have a permit, a residential parking permit. Handicap exempts that.
You have a handicap.
I had it in place in the window, and I come back, and there was a ticket. So I addressed that to the officer. He goes, was it hanging? I'm like, yeah, but I can't.
That also, in theory, exempt you from the other tickets.
Well, I try not to take advantage of things, but people don't realize I am disabled with my leg, and I don't show it, but, you know.
But you have a placard.
Yes. It's in the window. Exactly, it's in the window right now.
Now, when you got those the earlier 6 tickets, did you show the placard?
No. Well, I always keep it, where it's at. But they were tagging the car. When I'm in Fremont, San Jose, Cupertino, I have the Highway Patrol, the Sheriff's Department. They get behind me and they drive by because it is registered since January. I even showed the officers from DMV. I had to get a smog. He told me 3 months later, you got to have a smog. So I go to the smog referee. And he says, well, can't done yet, so the computer on the car decides to set itself back, drive the LA and back, maybe as it sets it back. So I told the officer, referee says it's not ready yet until it clears, I got to keep driving it. So I have insurance, I have a license, but, it kind of bugs me because now these tickets are just there. But the officer right down is gray, it's silver gray, wrong VIN numbers. I'm like, wow, You know, come on. I even told him, I try to abide by the law. To, you know, I'm a person that's normal, theoretically.
Now, you've been... You've been here for the last how many years in Santa Cruz?
Oh, my whole life.
And
I moved away for 7 years, and I came back.
When did you become an outdoor resident?
2017.
And that was because of?
Well, where I lived, I seen a guy murdered. I had home invasion, tasered 30 times. Police asked me why did I move there, and contact him next time. I was like, wow. So, you know, you battle with gang people, but lucky I helped the lady who was the number two gang member in San Jose's wife. So they came across me and said I won't have no more problems, but, you know, dealing with that, workman's comp, Santa Cruz take back, I'm mean to them because they're out here opening my door, and I'm not afraid to confront them on it. I recognize them because I'm one of those people who have face recognition, your bone structure. I try not to be mean, but then I'm dealing with my own things, you know, and then because I'm helping people, I'm like, I get charged, and I hate it. And being recognized as a homeless man at Ross Camp just saved a guy's life. They should have said just Robert Woodleaf saved a guy's life.
Review for us again, briefly, that incident that caused Keith McHenry to call you the hero of Ross Camp, or to call Ross Camp Heroes Camp.
Right, yes. Well, because Phil Gomez and him, I was staying at the Ross Camp because I pushed the tent. There was only a few at the time because being in Corralitos, Fremont, I couldn't get the things taken care of, so I had a tent up out there. Fortunately, I was there the day that semi had the accident, and I was the first one there to...
What was the accident?
On 2018 at River Street at 10:30
what was
in the morning.
It? Describe what happened.
Seeing the semi slam into 21 cars, and a man was going to burn up if it wasn't for me to do it. My friend John helped. I caught on fire. Then I had to pull him out, shut the door, and almost fell because I couldn't get the guy out, and then went back in and pulled him out. And then people were taking pictures, so I avoided people. So they
you were actually held in a ticker tape parade. You were taken, given housing,
no.
And a $10,000 stipend.
Nothing. I never asked for anything, but when I was going to court for a ticket, a gentleman came up to me that I never said I was on the housing list back in 2018. He says, good job. They should take your name off the bottom of the list and put it at the top. You know, I said, excuse me? He said it again, and then I go, why would they do that? He goes, because what you the heck, they should just give you a place. And I'm like, wow, I never told anybody. Then I never got anything from housing calling. I got a thing saying I didn't make it. So my friend Rachel Thomas, the guy's wife, her husband, the guy that saved with me, the guy in the car, she got on the thing for me, showed me I did make the deadline before, you know, on Thanksgiving in 2018 from the housing list. Then they tell me I didn't make it. They sent me a thing saying it was on a lottery thing, the letter. Then about 8 months later, they said I did make it, and I haven't heard anything since from that day.
Are you staying current? I mean, Brent Adams has often said, the guy who does the footbridge services, for those who don't know, that as long as you're persistent enough, you'll get housing within a fairly reasonable amount of time.
2018, plus, like, at the Benchlands, being 86 for no reason. Then I applied when...
86 from?
1221 River Street. And then I was signed up over here at Benchlands. Then they were not letting people in when they transferred them out to wherever. Then they called me when House Matters. I called back, never got a response.
Now, are you currently a resident in your vehicle?
Yes.
And how is that treating you as far as harassment?
Well, I don't really get harassed that much. Coming here, I don't just stay in one spot, and I have places I go. I go to my friends or stay in Sunnyvale, you know, back and forth, because I do stuff up there 2-3 days. The only thing I don't like is how they're having people at the armory and stuff. You got to be in a van. You have to be on their time. Well, if I go out of town to go help out or work, make some money, I'm gone maybe 2 days, 3 days, so having to be on their schedule on the bus, or it's not going to work for me.
How many people are at the armory right now, have you noticed?
I'm not sure, but from what I hear, it's pretty bad. You know, people are just being treated the wrong way. And, you know, profile, stuff going through. It's still going through like it was down there when I was. I questioned the management about having things taken when you have four people there, a guard, and things are taken. It's not right. And two, seeing people do things that shouldn't have, I get 86.
How much experience have you had in the benchlands recently?
Well, I go there every other day. I don't like what I see. Here they had these tents put up, like, you know, uniform, like a military camp. And then all of a sudden the people from above are down there. They're supposed to be 12 feet apart, can't have this or that. They got tarps over their tents. So now they haven't fixed the problem. Because I was sitting there with John last night, the other night, sitting there watching. People are still showing up on the street there and walking their way over. We see families just grabbing their kids, going to go in the park, and not, even though it's cleared. All they did is put the ones down below so they cut through and they still have the activity. I got a guy telling me, go back. I'm a bum when I dropped the gentleman off, that I took him to the store and thing, unload his bike, and his groceries, being quiet. And the guy comes out and is placed here by the park and telling me, we're calling us bums and homeless. And I kind of had it out with him, telling him, call the cops. I have no warrants. I'm legal. I am a citizen.
This was a housed resident who said?
Yes, right across the street from San Lorenzo Park.
How did he look?
Hey, once you bums get out of here, and once you go away, I'm going to call the cops. Hanging out, I'm all, look. My friend didn't say much. He said, no, he's an older gentleman. I go, you know what? Why don't you go back to your house? You know, by the way, he's calling us homeless losers and stuff. And I just told him, call the cops. You don't own the sidewalk.
Who initiated this?
He did.
And where did it happen exactly?
Right there in front of San Lorenzo Park, right in front of the residential things. I was unloading a gentleman who was kind of crippled, his groceries, his bike. I'm quiet. And at first I let it go, and I just finally
told him. What time of day or night?
It was at night, about 10:30. But yet people playing music at 12:30 at night, a guitar, and not saying nothing. But because, look at me, I keep my band. I don't look on, I mean, you know, I'm on both sides. But I'm always controlled, and I'm always angry, and I don't like to be angry.
You have a nice smile for an angry guy.
Well, you know, I have injuries, but the one good thing is I finally got people at HP last week set me up for some acupuncture to finally get something doing. I have a herniated disc in my back, shattered my legs still. Granite Rock has done nothing since 2014. I haven't sued them. I've been there 30 years. Sometimes I wish I'd have fell 2 more inches, even an inch, than what I'm dealing with now. Because of I'm not on pills. I use the anger to suppress my, you know, my injuries, but I'm starting to show it more. But, you know, I always got a battle with this, and I hate it because I can't ever get a lawyer again to go after him and get some kind of treatments.
John, should this guy be locked up? What do you think?
No.
A simple answer.
Hey, either way, if you're happy, I wouldn't mind.
Probably not.
You see?
Then I would have to deal with these people. I'd have solitude. I could handle that. It's the point
of institutional food 3 times a day.
Yeah, hey, and TV and cable and laundry. Hey, a shower. But I can't get my
free medication as well.
Well, like I say, I'm not homeless enough to qualify for it. I even asked those people from the county who I recognize. They scatter. Where's my tent? I'd like a tent. Well, ask them, no one got me a space. They walk away. You know what that's like. I don't like to see them, but I'm speaking out now because, you know, I'm getting older. It's been too long.
Have you been to the so-called agreement camp? Or, John, have you been to the...
Which one's that?
Have either of you been to the agreement camp that, you know, that the one that's fenced off over the river next to in the benchlands?
No,
I've been to the camp there.
Is it much different than what's happening in the larger camp?
Now, what's the agreement camp?
They took the Harvey West and they moved it over there because
because
they wanted to have room for picnic tables for housed folks and tourists.
In the benchlands?
Yeah.
That's a lot more compact.
Yeah, but that's okay because when I go down to the Harvey West Park, you drive up, you can smell the bathroom urine on, you know, like. Been, you know how the soil's been getting saturated and the smell of...
That's good that they're out of Harvey West Park, but it's not good for the people in the benchlands because they're too compact. Now they're going to go crazy because they can't live together that close.
Well, remember, they took everybody and they moved them about, I don't know, 100 yards away. I'm not sure, but you look over the bridge, you'll see a fenced-off area.
I saw that. I was wondering what that was.
Has anybody been down to that area and talked to folks there?
I haven't. I haven't talked to them, but I've seen it. I don't know why they did that. That might be because they have pets, believe it or not.
No,
there's a bunch of dogs.
No, that's at the other place. Because I just got there yesterday.
So what did you see when you were down there?
I seen a bunch of homeless people getting no help.
Yes. You're right.
You know, because, like, we up on this levee, trash man haven't been here in 4 days. But I, you know, I try to keep everything as clean as I can.
You're on the levee yourself?
Yeah, because it makes us look bad.
Yes.
If I don't keep it clean up there, or we don't keep it clean.
How many folks on the levee would you estimate?
Maybe about, well, on this side, about 20, 25.
Is there much community, or everybody pretty much for themselves? What's
only
the story?
In the parking lot here. Kind
well,
of like
yeah. I mean, everybody for themselves, because, you know.
But when they're here in the parking lot, there's a group of people. They kind of congregate, hey, how you doing? Keep an eye on each other, so nothing. But other than that, you know, they keep themselves. But a lot of people calling people, hey, get out of Santa Cruz, you losers.
You know, are you getting much hassle from that, of that kind of thing?
I don't.
I do, and I'm walking out there with a mask.
You know, because I'm just...
You blend in, I don't.
No.
First name?
I mean, the city ain't helping none.
Yeah,
because,
right.
For one, they messed up that money the government gave them. They rented motels when they should have been buying motels.
Yeah.
You know, they rented them. You know how much money that was?
Yeah.
You know, that was a waste of money.
They're good at that.
Yeah, yes. Well, we see
waste
that.
The wrong way.
Okay. What's your name, if you want to say, for free radio?
Kittrell.
Any other experiences you want to pass on to folks who are listening? I'll be playing this tomorrow night on net, but not on the radio.
Yeah. You know, it's the city's problem. You know, they just make it worse.
They just pass the buck. They go and they talk about it. So that way they're doing something, but they're stalling. It's not that hard. Just plan A and B. Yeah. Just buy a building or can renovate a building. San Jose, Fremont, buy three hotels, and they're already converted because I'm over there. I see people.
They
bought them over there in Fremont and San Jose.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. San Jose. They were smart.
Can I please have a cigarette, man?
So anyway, that's what's up. But if you look what they say, they're helping 100 homeless families. They're in housing to help them keep their places. The money was set
that's
for
San Jose
all,
you're talking about.
No, here.
Oh, here.
Santa Cruz, the money was for all homeless, not just ones that are going to be kicked out or have a family. He's a family himself. I'm a family. You know, individuals. A person.
Do you have a group with you? Or?
No. I don't have a group with me, no. But, you know, just like these new places they built it. How many homeless people going to go in?
None.
Huh? I mean, look at them. They're building these nice... They're just building these nice places, but none of the homeless is going to be in them.
Well, the High Point police were my buddies. Each Saturday evening we'd meet. While I was neglecting my studies, they'd chase me down Sycamore Street. It was kinda like going out dancing with the whistles and lights flashing red. They must have thought I was Charles Manson, and the sirens was music instead. 'Cause they beat the time on my head. If I had it all to do over again, I'd shout it from each witness stand that the difference between the dirty and clean is only a slip of the hand. Slip of a hand, slip of a hand, only a slip of a hand. Well, I guess I'd been seeing my share of the laws being broken and bent. 'Cause the next thing that I was aware of, Ohio was paying my rent. We held up a 7-Eleven, the son of a banker and me. Now I'm number 12607, and he's member FDIC. So, Mr. Osei, can you see? It's the end of your future, the end of your youth, the end of whatever you plan, from reaching for stars to reaching through bars. It's only a slip of the hand. slip of a hand, slip of a hand, only a slip of a hand. Outside of these walls are the faces of people whose freedom was bought, of people with friends in high places, and others who never got caught. And they tell us the prices have risen, and most of us think it's a crime. Well, here in the Lucasville prison, we're having a hell of a time. And to tell you, you gotta be strong, son. Don't steal, don't gamble or fight. Well, there's too many strong to do nothing that's wrong. Not enough strong to do right. Sweet Jesus, I'm lonesome tonight. And how can I shut up? And how can I sleep? Knowing some of you don't understand that any fool kid could have done what I did with only a slip of the hand. Slip of the hand, slip of the hand. Only a slip of the hand. So you High Point police in your cruisers, and all of you cops on the beat, gone, line up a few local losers and chase them down Sycamore Street.
And that's an earlier Charlie King number called Slip of the Hand from his album The Distance Remaining. And now back to conversations on the Food Not Bombs lot.
It was said that's San Jose all, you're talking about.
No, here. Santa Cruz, the money was for all homeless, not just ones that are going to be kicked out or have a family. He's a family himself. I'm a family. You know, individuals, a person.
Do you have a group with you?
Oh, No. I don't have a group with me, no. But, you know, just like these new places they built it. How many homeless people going to go in them?
None.
Huh? I mean, look at them. They're building these nice...
They're just building these nice
places, but none of the homeless is going to be in them, you know.
How long in Santa Cruz yourself?
I was born here.
And when did you get outsided?
About 10 years ago.
How would you say it's been in the last 10 years? Has it changed much in the last year?
Drastically. Drastically.
How so?
How so? Just the crime, the way it looks, you know, the people that's, you know, wandering in. It's just way different.
Is it easier than 2 years ago?
No.
It's harder than 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It got worse.
Definitely.
Because they're going on, basing on these younger people, making them look bad for the ones that are actually trying to get ahead. They're here just to hang out, be bums, and do drugs, where other people are struggling to try to get out of poverty. But the city's not doing it.
What do you think about that?
He's right. I mean, you know, when you were young, you're going to do what you want. You know, you got to go through life experience to learn that, you know, drugs and alcohol ain't the way. But, you know, and they're making it worse.
Now, you guys have got different skin color. Has it had any impact on you here in Santa Cruz?
Oh, no. You know, Santa Cruz, I mean, there's prejudice here. That's in the city. You know, that's some judges and DAs and lawyers and shit.
Right, you judge know? Everybody. You got
the police.
The police? Better police department than I've seen in a lot of other cities. You know?
Typical cities you've seen, other cities would be?
You know, like Oakland,
Scotts Valley.
San Jose. Scotts Valley and Capitola is Nazis. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's like Santa Cruz PD used to be all Nazis. But, you know.
When did it change?
Oh, way back in the early 80s when they got rid of Nelson and all them cats, you know.
And Chief Peeny?
Remember him. You go to the peak, you didn't see, when there was homeless people, you didn't see no trash. You didn't see no one bugging them. Santa Cruz was known for hospitality at all. Now, no more of the hippie era people. They're all gone. Their kids have gotten houses. They're selling out to Google. Now they're trying to make it another Palo Alto. That's what I see. Yeah. Knowing it, working here my whole life, UCSC, that it's all
exactly.
Exactly. You, I didn't vote for Google to buy anything. Who did? No one. I never saw that. I'm here every day. I don't hear nothing.
It's there for you, Robert.
Hey, well, here's the deal. The city never lets, I never get any information when they have things. They never come to me and say, hey, here, I asked for.
It's a rising tide. It drowns all boats.
With that money, I asked, where's the money? Where'd the money go? It's for all homeless, not people that are helped. They're helping in House Matters. Okay, families with kids, they're going to lose their house. That's not, they're not homeless. He's homeless. I'm homeless. The money was for all homeless, not to help these guys and transfer, you know.
Well, they're helping you have a diet. That's why they cut off the meals to people.
Well, here's the bottom line. I know it's hard for, like, Keith and them. They're battling because there are some people who are making a mess, looking bad, giving them what they want. So he's kind of struggling. But it's like, damn, these guys got to work together. Two, the bathrooms, like, when down there, some of those water things, they should be changed every 2 days.